the morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you today? Thank you for listening once again to St. Mark and Bemidji's podcast, the podcast that spends its time on its knees in reverence, with its eyes cast heavenward and a finger tracing along in the Word as we listen with an open heart. It's nearly Holy Week, and that means that we are nearing the high point of the church year. What is Holy Week? Well, it's when we remember the events that led to Jesus' death on a cross, and then his resurrection on Easter morning. If that sounds strange to you, if you've never heard why we get excited about someone dying in a particularly nasty way, then I would encourage you to keep listening to the podcast today to find out why that's important. There hasn't been an episode on this podcast yet that didn't declare the love of Christ and his perfect life, death, and resurrection for us, for you. While I've still got your attention, I want to encourage you to share Jesus with somebody today. You don't have to convince them of anything or teach them a theology course. No, just like Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago, just bring them to him, to church. In John chapter 1, verse 41 and 42, it says, "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' and he brought him to Jesus." That's it. No more, no less. I've found something amazing, and I want you to experience it too. Can't get them to come to church? Well, you could always at least share this podcast with them, and they can still hear the Word here. If they don't have a podcast app, the link to the podcast is in the show notes. Copy it down and give it to them that way. Today's meditation is from Timothy Church, and it's titled, From Death to Life. It's based on a reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. May God bless our time together in the Word.
We read from Ephesians chapter 2. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead." So far the word. In 1937, a Frenchman by the name of Angelo Hayes, Angelo, was involved in a motorcycle accident. And soon after, in the hospital, the doctors proclaimed him dead, and he was buried in a cemetery in a nearby small village in France. Shortly after the burial, those who worked around the yard and took care of the grounds noticed disturbance in their cemetery. They saw that somebody apparently had vandalized the gravesite of Angelo, but upon further investigation, they realized that the vandalization, the tampering, had occurred initially from within. Angelo had come back to consciousness, realized where he was, and had clawed his way out of the way that thing was constructed back then. Nowadays, he wouldn't be able to, but he clawed his way out of the casket through the soil back to the surface. Needless to say, it had international attention. And needless to say, the people were terrified of being buried prematurely. And what happened is they had medical innovations after this, like testing for more certainty and with better means to find out if somebody's truly dead. These are all good things. But this remarkable tale of Angelo is rare. Right? This is not normal. 99.9% of the time when somebody is buried and put in the tomb or in a casket, yes, they are truly dead, and yes, they will not come back, and they cannot return to life, except when Jesus says they can. Dear friends, today this will be our simple theme for our sermon, because of Christ, and how many times in this short little lesson it says, in Christ Jesus, well, in Christ Jesus we go from death to life. Now, allow me to read once again just the very few beginning words of our lesson. As for you, you are dead. Full stop. Dead. That's a strong word. But the apostle, directed by Jesus, goes on to say this, further on in the lesson, by nature we were deserving of wrath. Or as I heard one person put it once, we are wrath magnets. We attract the anger of God just by nature of who we are. This is a tough teaching to swallow. That by nature, even from conception, the anger of God is already brought to bear on us because we're already sinful. It's hard to swallow, isn't it? But let me allow that bitter pill to be swallowed. Let me sugarcoat a little bit for you. It's so much easier to swallow this bitter pill when we see other people deserving of wrath. And I think none of us would like to admit to having a list of people who qualify in our eyes for this. I'll give the name of one. I don't think it matters anymore if I say his name. Darren Van Handel. He was a bully in elementary school for me. And for a lot of my classmates, he was significantly taller and stronger than all the rest of us. And we were out on the kickball field, and the kickball was in my hands, and I was on the very edge of the lot because I had to recover the ball. And I don't know why. I can't remember clearly why I did this, but I threw the ball directly at Darren Van Handel. I'm not saying this is the best way to resolve all conflicts, but if he had not jumped at that exact second and turned his face toward me at that exact moment, it would not have hit him squarely in the face, but it did. I have never run so fast in my life after that thing hit. But in the seconds right after that ball hit, there was this moment of silence, and then most of the kids in that lot went, "Yeah!" And then everybody looked at me. He was a bully, deserving of wrath. And I would say, yes, of course, the teaching of Jesus Christ is so true. Darren Van Handel was an object of God's wrath from birth. Isn't it easier to swallow when it's others? But God says and looks at the entire human race and says we were all objects of wrath by nature. And the more our faith grows and matures, the more our eyes see it. Yeah, even if it's pouring out of my head, it doesn't matter if I say it out loud. There's so much sin in here. And God says it's worse. By nature, we were followers of the way, of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Remember in Bible study last Thursday, for those who were there, I said there are some things in Scripture that we cannot explain. This title for, who is it? I bet you know immediately, the devil. It's only used here. And allow me to give a very quick guess then, based on Scripture, of what this title may mean. I read from Ephesians 6, the very end of it. Our struggle is not against this, is rather, our spiritual struggle is against the forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's my Bible-based guess. In that realm that is beyond us. So the kingdom of the air, yeah, same idea. Whatever that title means, we know who it's talking about. Satan. And we follow the way of this ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan. And what is his way? What's his goal? To keep you spiritually dead until you physically die. That's his goal. And the darkness in us, like hand in glove, works with the ruler of the kingdom of the air to remain spiritually dead until we bodily die. No wonder God called us corpses in respect to our sin and our souls. What can a corpse do for itself sitting there in the casket? Can it even lift a finger to benefit itself? No wonder God had to take the initiative. And for a corpse, not only can it not do anything for itself, what is your response? Forget, please, anybody who you love who has died and you saw them after they died. Think of running across a corpse that is a stranger. of somebody you've never known. Like that girl in that Long Island park did. Maybe you heard about her. Just last week, she was walking by a Long Island park on the way to school, and she tripped over a piece of a corpse. They don't even know the name of her yet. It was this anonymous 59-year-old woman who was murdered. They don't even know the reason for it yet. What is your response when you see, or if you would see, a corpse in the middle of nowhere like that? It's horror, and at best, get that thing buried. That's our response to corpses. And yet, Christ knows and knew. Whoever that 59-year-old woman was, he knew her before she was even conceived. He is the one who knit her together in her mother's womb with joy. He did that creative work. Jesus is the one who saw all of the joy on her mom and dad's face when she first came into the world. And Jesus was the one who was there all of her years, whoever she was, witnessing her tears and her laughter. Maybe she was bullied too in elementary school, who knows. And Jesus was there when she was murdered. And what do you think the artist who creates every human being thinks and thought when he saw her killed? You can't tell me that a farm family who has 14 kids, if one of their kids dies, that they go, oh, that's okay, we got 13 more. There is a void for the rest of their life that is not filled. How much more the perfect God who looks at his children, stretched out his hands to die for whoever that 59-year-old woman was. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Are we shocked then when our lesson says, in his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy made us alive? This is the God we have and what he wants for us. Going back just for a moment to Angelo, that poor Frenchman, how do you think that first shaft of light that poked through the soil looked to him? If he still had his sanity, probably the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. And I bet you he looked at sunlight different for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, it was different. God wants more for us. More than just seeing a beautiful ray of light, more than just seeing the sun. This is what God wants. Listen, he's very specific. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. You raised and seated with Christ. Interesting, that concept, isn't it? That there's like a seat, a place with your name on it, whether literally or not. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a custom in the military that I've read about. I've never seen this with my own eyes. But an empty table that sits in mess halls, the missing man table. And there are many features on it, several features, but I'm just going to highlight two. One of them is nobody sits there, it's empty, right? But there is a piece of lemon and salt indicating the bitterness and the tears, the pain of those who are missing in action or prisoners of war. And yet there is also one single candle lit, indicating the hope that they have of seeing their loved one again here in this world. Christ stands with a seat. And he stands there and says, I will make it so. And he speaks so strongly in such strong terms. He speaks of it from his perspective that you are already past tense, raised and seated with him. But we don't live in the future like he does. We live in the present. So our Lord Jesus begins to stack one phrase after another to convince us that what we cannot yet see is yet sure. He says, for it is by grace, undeserved love, that you have been saved. Through faith, which is another gift, this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This, please do not misunderstand this. This is not Jesus saying, rubbing our nose in our weakness and our inability to save ourselves. It's true. He does teach that. But it's to convince us that we who cannot see the future, God already does. And he says, you raised, seated. Trust me. This is what our God does. We are so ever ready to be inspired and believe in grace when regular, broken human beings demonstrate it, aren't we? And to believe it, to be inspired by it. And I give you an example of a gracious man. His name was Ludwig Stiegler. He was a German pilot. He was a German pilot in the Luftwaffe in the World War II. And he was flying all by himself. And he saw only one other plane in the sky. It was a bomber, B-17, and was barely limping back to Britain. And of course, Ludwig shot it down. No. He escorted that same bomber who had killed his fellow Jews with many bombs and would do so again in the future. He flew that limping B-17 back as close as he could get to Britain and then turned back. If a human being can do this, and if we are inspired and assured, at least there's some hope for the human race when we see humans do this for each other, how much more the perfect Father when he sends his one and only Son and tells him to die, and that Son says yes. Dear friends, you are the handiwork of God. I would dare say it again, a masterpiece. But don't forget that God has created us as his masterpieces, his handiwork, but he has placed another masterpiece, more handiwork, right in front of us. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, listen, towards the end of our lesson, it says, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You, the handiwork of God, beautiful, and you are. And he creates additional things right in front of us so that we almost stumble in front of into them. These are good works which God says, I've given you the eyes of faith to identify an opportunity to do something good. It might be today. You might stumble across it this afternoon when you're grocery shopping. An opportunity to do good, whether simply by a word you speak to someone or whether by your actions or whether just by doing your job well. God created that opportunity, yes, ultimately, to draw somebody's attention to Jesus Christ. This is what God wants. It's true, if I might go back to our intro, it's true that Angelo, that Frenchman, his survival from a premature burial, it captivated the world's attention. And in some respects, changed the world. But the fact is, Angelo was never truly physically dead. But we were. All of us. Spiritually dead. Right? Our lesson says that. It doesn't give any exceptions to that. And yet, what does God tell us? By grace, from death to life. We have been rescued from the depths of our own sin, from that forever death by the love, the grace of God. And through those two most important events in all in human history, the death and life of Jesus Christ, we will rise together with him. We who have been made alive, emerging from the darkness into the light. God knows a thing or two, doesn't he? About resurrection. He specializes in bringing life out of death, doesn't he? So no matter how far gone you may feel, whether it's like we heard in our first lesson, whether you're fading to black because you were bitten by poisonous snakes, but you're looking up at that bronze snake, or whether you're just sitting here today at Timothy Lutheran Church feeling sad for whatever reason, no matter how far gone you may feel, there is hope in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I sincerely pray that today's meditation on God's Word has enriched you. Didn't get enough of God's Word? Are you missing out on that in-person fellowship? We hold divine services right here in Bemidji, Minnesota at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday school and adult Bible study is also offered between our Sunday services at 9:15 a.m. We also live stream our Sunday divine service at 8 a.m. You can ensure that you are notified when a stream is live or a new podcast is available by subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's easy to find by typing in St. Mark Bemidji in the search bar and clicking on the subscribe button. Want to listen to meditations the way I do every day? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to podcastindex.org and search for St. Mark Bemidji to find us. This is our fifth year producing this podcast, and there is a large archive of devotional material online available if you want to learn more about God and His Word. Visit www.stmarksbemidji.org or look in the show notes in this podcast for a link to this and many other meditations on God. If you have any questions or you would like more information about our church and its ministry, please visit our website, which is once again www.stmarksbemidji.org. May God bless the rest of your day.